I want you to just lift your hands one more time. Ask God to have his way in this meeting tonight. Appreciate what the Lord's already done. Amen. We're glad. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I tried to teach my people when I was pastoring, when the Holy Ghost came by like he did tonight, that, and you were shouting, you were speaking in tongues. The same Holy Ghost that shouted you, spoke you in tongues, was there to heal and deliver you. I've always told my people, I said, when the Spirit leaves and lifts what you couldn't move before, see if it'll move now. Amen. What you were fighting before, expect it to be gone now. Amen. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. Amen. The shouting and the exuberance is just the run over. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes by and moves on that body that you're, he can take care of every problem that's inside and outside and let the power of God move it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have shouted my way out of trouble many of a time. Come to the house of God sick. I want to be sweet, Brother Charles. But it's always hard for me to pray for folk when they call me and say, I'm too sick to come to church tonight. You know, it always amazes me that when the sicker they got, they want to go to the doctor. Well, I'd rather give God a shot at it first, hadn't you? I've started meddling and killed your shout. Amen. But I'm just telling you what I love, the worship of the Lord. I love the spontaneity of the Spirit. But I love to see the move of God bring the results. Amen. That we don't just go home and feel like we've been to the nightclub and danced all night. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it seemed like from the very beginning of this meeting that we have emphasized and talked about the need of worship and to worship. And so today when we went home from the meeting this morning, I got to praying and tried to pray and find the mind of God all day. And this is what I felt like bringing here. If I got to the pulpit tonight, I preached it before. I don't know how many times or where, and you may have been there. You may be a collector of CDs and of cassette tapes, and you may have heard it. If you have, you know where to say amen at. Amen. Brother Ben told me last night, said, now when you get ready, just point at me and I'll shout. But you know what? I couldn't find him. No, seriously. I love preachers. And I love young preachers. Amen. It might have been at Richland. Somewhere, Brother Moore and I were together preaching a meeting and sitting there. And as a young man, I mean, he was going after it. Brother Moore looked around at me and said, I love young preachers. Said, full of zeal, not a lick of sense. But I'll tell you what, there is some young men among us that God's got his hand on. And I've told it across the country, I'm looking to walk into that congregation and see that young man. Amen. There's somewhere tonight, there is, amen, another Elijah just waiting to step out onto the field. Amen. We're shaking our heads and wondering what's going to happen, but there's somewhere tonight a young man trembling in his shoes, feeling a pulpit that's going to rock this country and help us bring that revival. Amen. There's some among us that are hungry for the move of God. Amen. I like to look across the congregation and look at lung preachers and see the hand of God touch them and think, there's potential there. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to have been here in these meetings. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. And we're going to join the Hallelujah Chorus in the chapter number 19. And for the sake of time, we're going to drop down all the way to verse number 4 and begin reading tonight. Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 4. And again, it's good to be here. It's good to have been with Brother Charles. I told Ann today, I said, when I'm 80, going on 81 years old, I don't know if I can get in the pulpit, let alone preach like he preached today. Amen. But it gives me encouragement. Amen. Amen. All right. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah.
And the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, ye that fear him, and both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We've been talking about worship, and if the Lord will stand by me tonight, I want to preach to us on worship, its relevance to life. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for what we've seen and experienced and heard already in this meeting. Again tonight, Lord, we pray not for limelight nor applause, but again, Lord, for that anointing that transforms a man and makes him a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. I pray that canopy of your glory settles around us for a while longer tonight. Those that have responded already, God, have them to grow higher and further as we enter into a deeper experience. Those that sat there, Lord God, still bound by the care of life. God, rebuke the devourer. Push back the powers of darkness. Pour out the Holy Ghost tonight, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. I realize tonight that we've come into this place, and we came here, if you came here for the right reason, we came here tonight to worship God. We have come here tonight out of a world. We've come into the sanctuary out of a world full of violence and uncertainty. No one seems to know what tomorrow's about to bring. We've come here tonight traveling many different roads of circumstance and experience. I want to say I understand tonight, and I'm not upbraiding you for not shouting and being jubilant so far. I want to understand tonight that you have the journey. Oh, stand by me, Lord. The journey has not been an easy road for some of you lately. Many of us have been forced to try and cope with difficulties, problems, disappointments, and temptations such as you've never known before. Can you say amen? Life has seemingly besieged us with complexities, battered us with storms of mysterious and dark providences, battered our minds, oh Lord. But we're here tonight, and we've come here to worship God, to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Amen, and bring glory to God. Did you realize the chief end of your life tonight is that God is glorified in your life? So that question is going to be tonight, what ought worship mean for us? How is it relevant to the life situation that you're in right now? When I leave this place tonight, what spirit ought that worship have kindled within me as I go out again into a world and face a life with all of its trials? What a kind of a way ought I to go? What this spirit of this service ought to have meant to me? I'm preaching on the worship of God and its relevance to the life you're living in right now. That those Hebrews in Babylon said they hung their harps on the willow and said, we can't sing the Lord's song here. They indicated they'd sing it later. But I want you to know tonight, if you can't sing, amen, in the darkness, you can't sing in the sunlight. Hey man, that old preacher back in Kentucky said every little songbird can sing the song when the sun's a shining and the wind's a blowing and the ground's full of grub worms. But he said it takes an eagle, hey man, in a time of a storm. Here in our text tonight, John tells me the answer to exactly what I'm asking you. It might not have been the answer you expected, but it is the right one nonetheless. For John says, as I was on that lonely Isle of Patmos, I heard that hallelujah chorus. And as they sing the song, triumphant in heaven, there was two words that stood out above everything else. Those two words that John said, I heard, amen, brought rhyme and reason. Amen, they brought harmony to the worship. Amen, and victory to the faith. And those words were, amen. And hallelujah, hallelujah. That first note, amen, that hits on the harp of harmony tonight, amen, of true worship in its relevance to the life you're living in, is that word, amen. It is the acceptance of the will of God. It is putting your approval on what God said. It's saying, any way you fix it, Lord, it's all right with me. Amen, Lord, to what you're doing. The first true characteristics of a soul that's learned how to worship in spirit and in truth will say, amen. Go ahead, Lord. Wave after wave rushed in on Job. He woke up the most prosperous, richest man in the East and sat down that night with nothing in this world. Amen. But sitting on that ash heap of nothing, he raked together those ashes and he said, the Lord hath given and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Later on he'd say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When you can lift up your head and say, it looks like everybody's against me and God is too, but I'm just going to go ahead anyway. Amen. I told the Lord tonight, we got a bunch of stuff in the hands of God. But when this service opened and I felt him breathe on me, I said, God, I'm just going to go ahead and shout and thank you. Amen. Before the blessing gets here, I got enough confidence in you, Lord. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead now and praise you. Amen. Hey, hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, true worship. This characteristic says, be it so, Lord. Though there is suffering, there'll be no rebellion. Not in this heart. Oh, come on, I understand. I understand more than you know how difficult, how terribly difficult sometimes it is to bow submissively to the divine will of God. Sometimes here in the thick of the battle, amid the personal strains, amid the complexities and lonelinesses, the frustrations and the griefs, to understand what's going on and say, thy will be done. I remember being in the pastor's office. I took Brent down to Western Kentucky to take him hunting. I never did care anything about deer hunting, but Brent got to go deer hunting. And so I took Brent deer hunting. Hey, man, we was down there at the invitation of those, and we was there in that office before I spent the night. Man, I had everything on my mind but deer hunting. There's trouble. We was in the fire. I mean, there was things that questions and I didn't have the answer to. And I remember walking, I couldn't sleep. I was walking through that office, and back in those days there was a popular time that among the women they had this pattern of different things that they'd take this yarn, I guess it was, and hook and crook and make some pretty pictures. And somebody had made this pastor a picture of a mighty eagle. And it's there on the wall. And I felt the Lord touch me and say, take that down and look at it. And I thought, I'm seeing it pretty good. He said, take it down. I reached up, Brother Philip, and picked it up, flipped it over. On the backside, there wasn't nothing but knots and confusion, no rhyme, no reason. He said, son, the reason you ain't getting anywhere where you are, you're looking from the wrong side. John said to us tonight, if you want to understand the relevance of worship and what real worship must be here, then you must, the church militant, must hear the church triumphant singing on the other side. We must hear them as they're saying, amen and hallelujah. When Jesus began to tell his disciples of the hour that was now to come, Peter cried, "Not so, Lord. I refuse to cry amen to this." Glory to God. We have lived and we have cried when our dreams have been shattered. We've said, "No, God, I can't take it." Brother Johnny Noe died when he was 28, suddenly, went out of this world. Everybody that knew him nearly loved him. Ralph Cox would come by the house, and he'd never get to the house. He had to pass the cemetery. Rain or snow, he'd park his vehicle, get out and walk out to Johnny's grave, take his old hat off and cry like a baby. Every year after year, saying he's one of the best men I ever knew. There was no understanding why that at 28, God suddenly snapped him out of this world. He was more than a brother-in-law to me. He was a son. He was more than a brother to Ann. She had mothered him. Every morning before work, they talked. Every night when he got home, he called. Before he went to bed, they talked again. They stood one on one side of the pulpit at Bond, and one on the other, and they'd look at each other and get anointed. And you've been blessed if you was there and saw them sing, as they seemed to sing to each other and forget what's going on. And he's gone now. And first of all, I couldn't say, I had a hard time saying amen to that. But more than that, that was on the 21st day, I believe it was, of December, the 17th day of March. Ann hadn't hardly went to bed. The coffee pot was never cold. She was working and grieving. Nobody could help. Brother Philip, there was you know that there's that morning when there was a yielding together, and right now, Brother Philip and my wife cannot see each other for months and months, and they come together. It's like brother and sister. When Philip was in the hospital, bad off, we went to pray for him. I might well not have been there. Where's Sister Ann? Sister Ann, come close. But he called her one morning and read to her a scripture. There was, she was on the floor, couldn't hardly stand, and pulled her up. But because of all that grief, she had what appears to be a massive heart attack and went down to the very depth, and it looked like sure enough she's going to die. I had Leon Buzzard scheduled for revival. I'm preaching about when worship is relevant to the life you're living. Hey man, I had him scheduled for revival. I didn't know what we would do, but I'll tell you what, he came in there. I thought, well, we'll get her in that service. She didn't miss a service. Amen. Every service, they girls would have to help her, but she came. We have to carry in, and they carry her out, but she is there. I thought, well, the power of God will sweep this place, and tonight she'll be healed. But his text was that night, his message to me was, if there's no ram in the thicket, then what are you going to do? My sweet little wife would look at me from that bed as she's going down, and she'd say, now baby, the will of God, you ain't submissive to the will of God. And I'm saying, God, I can't say amen to this. I just can't say amen to this. I feel like tonight there's some things, amen, you're having trouble saying amen to. Amen, these things have dropped into your life, like that cup in the sack he's talking about, and you're having a hard time to say amen, and that's why you can't really worship. You put your smile on, you lift your hands and shuffle your feet, but there's a dead cold place in your heart because you ain't said amen to the will of God. I don't know how long it was. And I just look at him and shake my head. Finally, one day, I never have really prayed like, you know, going to the altar at the church and staying for weeks or hours or whatever, you know. Seemed like when it was really bad enough, I took to the hills. And I'd walk through the fields. And I walked out through that orchard grass that was about waist high. Soft wind was a blowing, made it look like waves on the sea. And I walked out in the middle of that patch, and I walked into the Holy Ghost. Come up on one of those waves, Brother Charles. And he said to me, son, do you still love me? I said, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. He said, do you still trust me? Even though I took Johnny and didn't ask you. Do you still trust me? And I said, Lord, you know that I grew up not trusting anything or anybody until I fell in love with you. Lord, I trust you. And then he said to me,
Son, do you trust me with Ann? Are you trusting me with Ann? I said, Lord, I trust you. He said, how about if I take her out of your sight? Well, you can't see her. Do you trust me to take better care of her? What will you do then? Brother Randy, I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I'll preach your Bible across this country. I'll tell them what kind of a loving God you are and a loving Father. All of a sudden, I said, amen to the will of God. I came back into that house, walked back in that little room where she was. Brother, she looked up and smiled as only she can. She said, you settled it, didn't you? I feel it. You said amen. Oh, listen, amen. There's something. What if Jesus had not bowed to the will of God? Amen. Really, we've begun to learn how to worship when we've come to the place where we see there's just one thing that really matters and is needful, and that is in this time that I'm living in to possess Christ and him to possess me. Amen. To know, amen, in the darkness that I'm walking in, he's in the darkness with me. Yeah. To know he's a shepherd that picks up a sheep that is wounded, even when you have wounds with your own cause. He still loves you. He still understands. That little old boy said he heard them talking. They'd been setting up with Granny. And they heard him say, Granny, is it fixing to start cross over old dark Jordan? When nobody wasn't looking, he slipped in where she's at. And Brother Stephen said, Granny, said they said you's a fixin' to cross over old dark Jordan. Said, Granny, how deep is Jordan and how dark will it be? And she looked up at him and said, honey, child, I ain't got no idea. For you see, Jesus is the light at the river, and he's going to carry me across to the other side. Amen. 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 In the darkest hour, he'll be there. I know you're in the fire. I know it. I know it's dark where you are. I know it's been dark a while, but hang on. Amen. He's going to bring you out. To really find commitment to the purpose of God. For you see, amen doesn't have to be a sigh. It can be a shout. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And by thy grace of God, I'll do it. Amen. No longer a duty, now a delight. When we've come to learn to harmonize with that first chord in this hallelujah chorus, then the second one comes, and it's hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's fellowship. Amen. It's fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And oh, church, I got to tell us tonight, we wouldn't have to spend time talking about worship if it's not the fact. Come on and preach with me. The church of today, by and large, has lost that note of joy. Amen. That spontaneity of worship, that true worship. Amen. We got to recapture it again. One of the darkest times that we was in, it was 12 years. Most of you know now, 12 long years we battled. Brother Charles was sitting by me a while ago there. I said, you remember that night at Richlands when that man died and God raised him from the dead? At least twice that I can think of, people would fell out in a service, declared dead with their heart. That was one. Those two girls, I think was both of them nurses there that night, they said, after it was over with, and Ralph pushed them back and said, they said, Ralph, he's gone, he's gone. Ralph said, get back. They come up afterwards, Brother Roger, they said, we're sorry. So I said, don't be sorry. I said, you reacted the way you was trained. You was doing what you was trained to do. We was doing what we was trained to do. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But at least twice. And one time, God raised a man like that when Ann was so sick, she couldn't even come to church with me. I'm so glad that God let us spend these last years together. And I won't hardly let her out of my sight. I said, we're driving across the country. Ain't no better joy, no greater joy than to reach over and get her by the hand. Amen. And know that we're together. But oh, there's been many of a time when I went off to preach a camp meeting, Brother Roger, when I didn't know. I wouldn't have went. I wasn't going. She said, yes, you are. You're going to go. I said, she'd cry and I'd cry, but I'd go across the country and preach that meeting not knowing. But after 12 years, if you don't know it, God healed her. Wonderfully, gloriously, and instantaneously healed her. Amen. And raised her up. But I want to tell you tonight, amen, one of those darkest nights, one of those hardest times, we'd been to church and got home late, and I was trying to help her get out of the car, and boy, I was down. I'll just tell you, I was down low. I was about having to carry her. All of a sudden, in the dark of the midnight, the sweet, sweet sound of a mockingbird began to sing. He sang and he sang and he sang. I said, you silly thing. What are you doing singing in the dark? And something said he's a singing because it's a song that's born in his heart and not of the atmosphere. Before we get ready to come over here the night, Brother Randy was praying as hard as we could pray. We'd got ready for bed and hollered, John, come here. I went in there. She said, listen, can you hear it? Can you hear it? I said, I don't hear it. I finally got my old hard hearing, again the ear, again the glass, and I could hear it. And the mockingbird was a-singing again outside our window before we come over here. Amen. I went to church after that night and I preached on. I heard the mockingbird sing. Sister Janie Sutherland was going through a dark trial. When she heard it, she got up to me and said, Brother Gavin, I heard the mockingbird sing. I pray tonight somebody, amen, before this meeting's over, we'll hear the mockingbird sing. Amen, because it's in his heart to sing. Amen, to rejoice in the Lord and to worship God. You know, it's an extraordinary thing in this book of Revelation, written at a time when Christianity was fighting for its very life, battered by most horrible and hideous cruelties, colossal sufferings, that there would rise out of that time the irrepressible sound of singing, glorying in tribulation, enduring sufferings with joy. For too many of us has found no room for the hallelujah in the fierce, mad, bitter Babylon of a world that you're living in. But oh, listen, we must learn again, amen, to take our harps down off the willows and restring them and get the joy of the Lord back in our hearts. Amen. The world once knew the Pentecostal wholeness people by the joy of their singing, by the worshiping and their singing. Amen. They might not have been. Listen, we got the finest, and God help me to be sweet right here. We got the finest group of talent we've ever had among us today. We've got great choirs. We got great talent. We've got all those things. We know how, as Brother Moore said, we know how to dot all the I's and stop at all the bird's mouth. But I'll tell you right now, there ain't nothing takes the place, amen, of some old gray-haired mama that's plowed through the world and come to church and begin to sing. Jesus said, if you go, I'll go with you. Oh, come on now. Amen. What we need is that spontaneity. We don't need it to be worked up. We don't need to sing five songs before we get the world off our mind. We need to hit the door saying, I've come into the house of God to lift up my hands and to worship Him. Amen. To worship Him whether I feel good or not. To worship Him whether bank account balances or not, to worship Him no matter what. Go into the house of God. And then that root of joy that sings through the dark adds one more note to this hallelujah chorus, and it is the note of assurance, of victory. He said the church militant must listen to the church of heaven as they sing the song of the church triumphant, because there has been an advent. There has been a cross. There has been a resurrection. There is a Christ whose powers have met all the powers of darkness and came out victorious on the other side. Hallelujah. Ah, and he said the last touch and the last chorus and the last note says, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Could I tell this old dark world right now, hey man, do what you can, but he's still on the throne. He's still ruling over the affairs of men. Hey man, men rage and men plan and they plot, and he laughs and has them to derision, because he's God and worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's still God. And being God, he can cause the very wrath of the ungodly to praise him. They think they're making their plans. They think they're moving their armies. They think they're taking their places. And they're just pawns in the hands of the providence of God as God moves the world toward the climax, when all the world shall know again that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever.
Oh, Brother Philip, I just heard something. I'm through preaching, but I wonder if it would be possible, not to put any kind of a sadness on you in any way, but I wonder if you'd stand with me and honor the memory of one of the greatest men I ever knew. For as he is here right now and stand beside of me, you know what he'd say? Let's stand. You know what he'd say? What would he say? Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout with the voice of triumph. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Go ahead and praise him. Somebody, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Somebody. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So I can say amen. Amen. And I can say hallelujah. And I can shout with a voice of triumph. For we've already, he said, the church militant must hear the church triumphant, realizing, and we must learn to sing that song. Amen. I'd like to sing the song of victory on this side, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd like to just rear back and shout in the devil's face tonight. Amen. I'd just like to look him in the eye and say, I'm going to shout anyway. He'll point out to you all these things. He'll say, now what are you going to do? I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to run slap over you if you don't get out of my way. I'm a picture to take a shouting spell. Amen. I feel something coming on here. Amen. Because the Lord is still on the throne. He still rules. Sometimes you'll look around at all that's going on and you'll forget God has got his hand on all of it. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Amen. Yea, I sing to you, my child, my little ones. My chosen flock, have I not told thee? Have I not sworn by myself when I could swear by no greater? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you always.
say unto you tonight, doubt not, but lift up your hands hanging down. Confirm those weak knees and march on a little further. For weeping has endured for the night, but the day star has arose and joy is coming in the morning. One more time across this congregation, lift up your hands. Let's worship him from a heart of gratitude and a heart of love. Amen. Amen. Lift up your hands. Amen. And rejoice.
Praise God. Sister Rachel, come. We're going to come to this altar. Holy Ghost is here. He spoke to us. Oh, let's entertain him.